I want to share with you in our call to worship a couple of verses here from 1 Timothy chapter 2, where we read, "I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." I'm impressed by that statement there. It says, "I exhort therefore that first of all." You know, as a people, you and I have a responsibility to pray for all men, and specifically, as he lays out here, we're to pray for those in authority over us. And what is the purpose of that prayer? Our desire is that we might lead a quiet, peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You know, if you're not praying for those in authority over us, then you have no right to complain. You may vote in the ballot box, but if you're a Christian and you're not praying for those in authority over us, then you have no right to be complaining and fussing and arguing about what's going on. I was thinking about the basis of American government in relation to this. There's a whole list of things that we could say that come from the Scripture. The sovereign authority of God, not the sovereignty of the state or the sovereignty of man, comes right out of the Scriptures. And we find it in the Mayflower Compact, the Declaration of Independence. We see it on our currency. We see it in our oaths that are taken in the court of law, in the mention of God in all 50 state constitutions. That's very interesting to me. The sovereign authority of God is mentioned, and also in our Pledge of Allegiance. Then we think about objective moral values, standards, absolute truth, sanctity of life, the rule of law rather than authority of man. All of those things are laid out in our founding documents of our country that come from the Scriptures. The fact that all men are sinners. I think about when we were in our middle school this year, we studied the Constitution, and there's a whole series of checks and balances. Why are there checks and balances in our government? Because we're sinners. That's the heart and soul. Why would you need a check and a balance if everybody's a promise and a possibility and everybody has a spark of divinity within them? Why would we need to have checks and balances? Well, the reason that we do is because we're sinners. And the founding fathers understood that because of the authority of the Word of God. And so, hey, the judicial needs to be kept in check by the legislative, and the legislative, the executive branch, all those. And by the way, all three branches of government are based upon the principle of the Word of God. In Isaiah chapter 33:22 says that God is our king, he is our lawgiver, he is our judge. And we see all three branches of government reflected in that. And so we could go on and on about all the different things that our founding fathers used from the Word of God in the founding of our country, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That was their desire. That was their purpose. And you and I, this morning, we need to determine by the grace of God that we will pray for our leaders, that we will pray for our authority, and as you pray for the salvation of their souls. That's been one of my requests, especially, that the Lord would bring saving grace to individuals that are in authority over us on the local level, on the state level, on the federal level, because these men and women need the Lord Jesus Christ. It's quite evident that there are many without the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray in that regard that we will have the opportunity, that God will be long-suffering, that we'll have the opportunity to be able to continue to live peaceable lives and bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus Christ without interference of the government. So let's pray for our country on this day and throughout the year, that the Lord would be merciful and that He would bless the United States of America.